mighty and as beloved as our nation is, if time continues, this nation will be gone. But guess what? The kingdom of Christ will still be here. Now, verse 23, last verse of the book of Haggai. In that day, says the Lord of hosts, I will take you, Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, says the Lord, and will make you as a signet ring. For I have chosen you, says the Lord of hosts. Do you see a strong contrast in that verse with the rest of the book of Haggai? What has God been telling them? Remember how I pointed out to you in the earlier verses of chapter 1, how God didn't even say, my people. He said, this people, as though He were disowning them. He said, you know, I've been blasting you with blight and mildew. I've been striking you. You came to your investments and they were half of what you expected them to be. God says, I've been doing all these things to you. But now, He says, I'm going to overthrow all these kingdoms, all your enemies for you, and Zerubbabel, you leader among God's people, I have chosen you. And it's because, again, they had turned in their hearts and in their lives back to the Lord. Israel was in disarray economically, agriculturally, spiritually, and so on. And the other nations, such as Persia, which would be the modern-day Iranians, seemed to have their acts together. But God was about to change all that. He says there at the beginning of verse 23, in that day, that is, in the day or time of the overthrow that He spoke about in the previous two verses, He would do something very special for Zerubbabel and the Jews. Persia would soon go away. Greece would come and go. Rome would come and go. And during that time, he says, Zerubbabel would be chosen. So, that seems kind of odd at first because Zerubbabel wasn't going to be living for centuries on end. And you'll remember last week I showed you from chapter 2 how there's a prophecy there that wouldn't be fulfilled until even future from our time, according to Hebrews chapter 12. So I think what God was doing here is He's saying, now Zerubbabel, you're going to be chosen, but you're a symbol. You're a symbol for the ultimate one that I'm going to be choosing. God promised to make Zerubbabel like a signet ring. Now, a signet ring was extremely valuable to the king. It was his ring. There was no other like it. And with it, he could stamp, you know, the wax seal that would be put on various letters and laws that were made that brought them into effect. So he kept that thing on his person. He kept it as his own possession. It expressed his authority. Thus, during the upheavals of which God is speaking here, I think He is showing that the Davidic line leading to the Messiah would be preserved, for it was valuable to God, like a signet ring. So would the Messiah and all those who represented Him down through the ages, such as Zerubbabel. The promised Christ was to be a descendant of Abraham. But Abraham had 8 sons. Yes, he had 6 more after Sarah died with another wife named Keturah. But it was narrowed down to Isaac, through whom the promise would come. Isaac had 2 sons, but it was narrowed down to Jacob, through whom the promised Messiah would come. But Jacob had 12 sons, and of those 12, Judah was chosen. And of all his descendants, there was one known as King David, who was the first one from the tribe of Judah who would have a signet ring as a king. And so he was chosen to be that representative. But with every generation, it kept being narrowed down more and more until you come to Haggai's day, and of the descendants of David in the tribe of Judah, there would be Zerubbabel. In Matthew chapter 1, we find this narrowing down occurring. You probably often wondered, why is that genealogy in Matthew 1 and Luke 3? Well, one of many reasons would be that God is showing you how He was preserving that messianic line. And in Matthew 1 and verse 12 it says that after the Jews were brought to Babylon, Jeconiah begat Shealtiel, and Shealtiel begat Zerubbabel. And that is, of course, the Zerubbabel that is being spoken about in the book of Haggai. Again, consider the fact that Zerubbabel was already governor, but he never attained to a higher honor than that. And that's because, although he never became a king, and thus didn't have a signet ring himself, he was representative of the great king who would come along. Now, what is interesting about this is that Joshua, who is mentioned elsewhere in the book of Haggai, is not mentioned here. Every time I believe that Zerubbabel was mentioned, Joshua was also spoken about. That's because Zechariah pinpoints him. In the same way that Haggai pinpointed Zerubbabel, so Zechariah takes Joshua and doesn't mention Zerubbabel and says something very special about him and who it is that he would represent. In Zechariah chapter 6, there is something spoken about him in a similar way as Zerubbabel and Haggai. Zechariah 6 and verse 9 says this, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Receive the gift from the captives, from Helde, Tobijah, and Judea, who have come from Babylon, and go the same day and enter the house of Josiah, the son of Zephaniah. Take the silver and gold, make an elaborate crown, and set it on the head of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak," that's the one mentioned in Haggai, "the high priest. Then speak to him, saying," now listen carefully to what is said here, because what is said to Joshua never happened with any Old Testament king or Old Testament priest, except for one man in particular that I'll mention. Verse 12 it says again, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold the man whose name is the branch. From his place he shall branch out, and he shall build the temple of the Lord," which is what Zerubbabel and Joshua were just in the business of doing. They're trying to build the physical temple in Jerusalem. Verse 13, "Yes, he shall build the temple of the Lord. He shall bear the glory and shall sit and rule on his throne. So he shall be a priest on his throne. And the council of peace shall be between them both." Now there are fascinating things happening here in this text. Because Joshua was not from the tribe of Judah. He was the high priest. And yet, he has a crown placed upon his head, and then this prophecy is made. He's representing the branch. A man whose name would be called the branch. And he says Joshua, or the one whom he is representing, will sit on a throne. And he would also serve as a priest on his throne. And that never happened with David, for example, or Solomon, or Hezekiah, or any of those other Old Testament kings. No Israelite ever experienced that. Now there was a man during the days of Abraham who was known as both the king of Salem, which was later Jerusalem, and he was a priest of God Most High. And that was a man by the name of Melchizedek. And we'll learn more about him in the book of Hebrews in my Sunday morning Bible class. But both men, Zerubbabel and Joshua, are types of the Christ. It is only the Christ, or the Messiah, who would be both king and priest. So God takes the book of Haggai, delivers a harsh and strong message to His people, the Jews. And when He finally sees them turn around, He just talks about how He's willing to shake up the heavens for their sake. And that He would end up bringing through them a special man into the world who would be king not only of the Jews, but also of the Gentiles. Brothers and sisters, let us have confidence. If God's house in those days could be rebuilt, and it was, if it was a type of the true house, if Christ has been made king, if all of this happened with opposition, the rise and fall of kingdoms, if God could cause all that to be accomplished, then whatever God wants the Savage Street Church to do can and will be done. Even if we think, well, that just sounds too fabulous. If there's something that comes up in the future, some goal that we all decide we want to work on or whatever it might be, it's not too great. Not after what I've seen in the book of Haggai, if I understand what I'm reading here, and if I understand the God whom we serve. Let us not wait for circumstances to change, though. See, our first thought might be, well, but things need to change first. No, they don't. Is that not what God has preached to us through Haggai? We can change the circumstances, of course, with the help of God. He is waiting to see what we are going to do. If Jesus is the leader of this church, we shall prosper even more than Zerubbabel, Joshua, and all their brethren, because they were restoring only a material house that was indeed a type of the true house, which is the church. The church is now the house of God. Yet, if you are not in that kingdom, you shall be a part of those kingdoms that God says He'll overthrow. And I beg of you, please don't let that happen. And if you're a Christian and you've wandered outside the kingdom, don't let it happen that God overthrows you. God loves you. God loves you dearly. That's why He sent His only begotten Son into the world, that whoever believes on Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Or do you want eternal life? If you need to come back to Christ or come to Him in the first place, we beg of you to come forward right now as we stand and sing.